The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank you for calling 423-GET-FAME. That's 423-GET-FAME. I would tell you to leave a message, but the truth is, I don't really care. I've had this hotline open for months, and not one of you jokers have what it takes to be famous like me. So leave a message if you want, but don't expect a call back. I've got way more important things to do than to waste my time on losers like Mascarita Sagrada and you all. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 17 of the Grave Consequences Podcast. My name is Caleb Baldwin. You can follow me on Twitter at IamCalebB. Follow Greg at XMaserati. Follow the show at GC_cast. Check me out every Wednesday night on Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast after AEW Dynamite. Check out everything else here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. You can find the Social Suplex Podcast Network wherever you download your podcast. Of course, if you just want to hear us, we have a solo feed. Just search for the Grave Consequences Podcast. Try saying that five times fast. This, like I said, it's Season 2, Episode 17 of Lucha Underground that we are discussing. bro, it's been a long night. We do back-to-backs, and this is the second half of a back-to-back. The working title was Crime and Punishment, but Greg, you had something a little special, a little change of title here for him.
Yeah, I was going to either name it Special Victims Unit or Baby Mac, Baby Mac, Baby Mac, Baby. And that will make sense if you actually watch the episode.
Fair enough. I will say the second title is a little bit wordy and redundant as well, even though in context it makes sense.
Well, I mean, that's all my titles, so.
Oh, come on. Don't be so hard on yourself.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I just think it's funny. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. I hear you. Okay. So to start off this episode, Dario is in his office handling money when Cage comes in. And by the way, Cage is not a good actor, for what it's worth.
No.
He's like, hey, Chavo took my medallion. What are you going to do about it? And Dario, he doesn't quite say it, but he may as well have said, I missed the part where that's my problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said something like, it sounds like you're your problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to make a Spider-Man reference, that's all.
There we go.
Let's see here. Cage says, like, hey, you know, like, if you can put the medallion in, you're in the match. And you know what, you can even come to the ring with me for the ceremony. And it was at this point I realized Dario really wants to see Chavo get his ass kicked.
Yes, very. I mean, he doesn't care. He just wants, he's already got a show. He's like, you know what, I don't need to interfere. This could be hilarious.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. Like, when I said this episode was therapeutic, this is what I'm referring to. It's just how much. Oh, you know what? I don't know if we used this title in the first season. Here's a suggestion on what we could call this episode. Everybody Hates Chavo.
You know what? It's funny because I don't think we did, but it sounds like something we could use.
Yeah. That's the thing. It sounds like something we have used. That's why.
How about the gang kills Chavo?
I love it. The gang broke Chavo. He's eating trash cake at the bar, that sort of thing.
Here we go.
Dario comes out of his office alongside Cage, as we established. And this is a ceremony to solidify your slot in the medallion match. Tejano comes out first and solidifies his spot. Do you remember what Dario says about him? Because I did not write that down.
For which person?
Tejano.
He said something about being the voice of Mexico or Mexico's beloved he lied.
Yeah.
Basically, because Tejano is a heel, or he was a heel at that time in AAA, as far as I remember. But yeah, it wasn't anything special. Like, just like anything else, they never really had anything for Tejano.
Yeah. Joey Ryan comes out after him, and for some reason, Dario says that Joey Ryan has a sixth sense for fast fashion.
Yeah, I didn't get, you know, I would say he has a sixth sense for being a sex pest, but.
Yes. I was actually going to say the same thing. By the way, it is Sinistro, because we've heard it from Katrina, we've heard it from Melissa, we've heard it from Dario now. Sinistro de la Muerte comes out after that, and Dario says, spooky.
I popped at that, dude. He buried him.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... Aerostar comes out next, and we get a welcome to Earth.
It'd be funny if he punched him, too.
Oh, my God. The Mac comes out after that. Baby Mac, baby Mac, baby Mac, baby.
Yeah, Dario is great. He's a treasure.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, and what's even better is the Mac puts the little coin in the slot, so to speak, and Dario says, circles with circles. Good job.
I missed that. Yeah. He is a juggalo, I mean.
Yeah. Sexy Star is next, and he says, sexy and strong star woman, which it's like, okay, you're not being funny so much as, like, showing respect, I guess?
This is my favorite part of the episode.
We've established that, at least in the last episode, like, he has a respect for Sexy Star.
He's still a dickhead, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Chavo Guerrero gets announced, and Chavo gets a chicken shit chant.
He comes out with a chair. I mean, he knows.
He does.
Because Cage is out there with
Dario. Yeah, Cage came out with Dario, yeah. Yeah. But Chavo and Dario, you know, Dario wants a fight, basically. Dario yields the ring. Cage proceeds to stomp a mud hole in Chavo Guerrero, and Cage grabs the little coin purse thing that the medallion is supposedly in, but he got a washer.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets the real chair shot from mm-hmm. Chavo, and I think the medallion was taped to the bottom because it came out as he hit Cage with it.
It was. You are absolutely right. Chavo knocks out Cage. Chavo inserts the medallion into the slot. And Dario says, sorry, Cage, you're out.
You know what this means, though, right?
He says, sorry, man. And Cage says, you know what? Dario, you already know. I'm not a man. I'm a, and the crowd says along with him, machine. This man's over.
He's over, but you know what the new lore of the medallions is now, or the way they work? They're basically the 24/7 title.
Oh, my God.
Right? Because they're all about possession.
Don't say that.
They are. That's exactly what they are.
No. Until
you put it into the medallion.
The or gift of the gods have such gravitas. What are you talking about, dude?
Or you could think of it as a ladder match. It doesn't matter who has it. It just matters who puts it in the thing, in the belt at the end. Kind of like it doesn't matter how many times you hit your finisher or pin someone in the ladder match because you can't pin them. All that matters is being the person that takes the belt down.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, by the way, Cage hit Weapon X near the Aztec seal. So that was nice. After this, we have a fatal four-way to get Masquerita Sagrada on the show and to advance the Cobra Moon thing. And let's see here. This is a fatal four-way. Arjenis, Daga, Cobra Moon, Masquerita Sagrada. Famous B comes out, makes the same hotline bling reference he had made before. He tells him to call 423 get fame, and that number is over, of course. And from Little Hollywood, California, accompanied by the beautiful Brenda, make some noise for my main man, Masquerita Sagrada. And nothing happened in this match, except for the end.
Yeah, they advanced to Cobra Moon being infatuated with Daga.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the fourth person in this match?
Arjenis.
Really? Why did I think? Okay, yeah. This, I don't really have any notes on this match. I didn't. It's a nothing match.
Nothing happened. Cobra Moon got the, you know, got a kill shot in on Masquerita and gave up the pin to Daga because she has a crush on Daga.
Yep.
After this, we get a vignette for Killshot, and he's being stalked by Marty the Moth. Marty comes up, and he says, "Marty the Moth, reporting for duty, sir." And, okay, Marty does this weird cock of the gun thing with his hand, and they add a sound effect in with it.
They go a little overboard sometimes.
They do, yes. But, you know, that's what I like about it. I like about it. The cheese, man. Marty comes out to the ring as El Conjunto Nuevo is playing us into back into the show. And Melissa is made very uneasy by Marty. She's because, you know, she does the little moth flap thing. But she is like very on her toes now that she knows Marty is right behind her.
It's very much stranger danger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like that is a I mean, damn, I thought season one was bad when Pentagon tried to break her arm. But, like, now you got Marty the Moth creeping on you. Like, it's too bad that underground fight clubs don't have a human resources department.
They use the same one my company uses.
Greg putting over his own company. What a go.
Burying him. Golden shovel.
By the way, yeah, absolutely. It's worth noting Killshot does put his dog tags on the turnbuckle. But I think he does that in, like, every match he's in, right?
At least it started as soon as the new persona,
yes.
the gimmick enhancement started. Yeah. And, you know, I would love to have more notes on this match because it wasn't a bad match. It's just after some of the previous episode.
Yeah.
And then the matches we had earlier on this show, I just wasn't into it. I mean, I will say that Marty, his finisher apparently is the Seth Rollins curb stomp. And he does it from the top turnbuckle after the match. He loses the match, but he does it from the top turnbuckle, and it looks devastating.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Killshot actually got the win with, like, a weird clutch pile driver type of thing.
Dude, I got to figure out what the name of it is, because he's done that before. He has them in that lucha move where they have their legs around the other person, but they're facing away, and they eventually do, like, a DDT or a snapmare, but instead he grabs them from back of the head and he kind of does like almost like a one wing angel all the way. It's dope. It's an awesome finisher, and it was a good match. Marty has that crazy where he doesn't really, he's a bully almost. Growing up, there was a kid that was maybe a little bit bigger, loud mouth, and he would get into fights, but he wouldn't always, he'd win a lot. Like the person that thinks they're the bully, because they're a little bit off, like they're just weird. You know, you ever had a person in your life like that? And he goes silent because he was the person.
Not exactly like that anyway. No.
I've not been close, but like it just, you know, going to public school, like you meet crazy people. But there's been people that were like thinking they were, you know, able to walk around and bully others, and then they ran into the real bully, right? That's kind of what Marty does here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah. No, you're right. You were right. Absolutely. But I just don't have a lot to add on that discussion. That's all.
Like, close to home. I think it was you.
No,
you were the Marty Moth of your high school.
No, that's not even close to true. Not even close. By the way, like you had mentioned, Marty assaults Killshot after the match, curb stomp and everything. And then what Marty does here, and I love the way they're going with this feud, the fact that they are taking something as simple, and yet this is not a disrespect to any armed forces out there, because while yes, Killshot is just, you know, Shane Strickland acting as a former armed forces member, we've all had, regardless of whether or not we've been in any type of armed forces, we all have the things, you know, that, like, on the surface, maybe they don't mean a lot, but they're symbols. Like, I'll give you an example. I have a bracelet here because I am a Christian man, as was my father, and he had a Philippians 4:13 bracelet. I inherited that from my dad. Basically, none of my brothers wanted it, so I was like, yeah, I'll take a look. Took it. I wear it on my right wrist every day. I haven't taken this thing off in like probably a year. If someone took that from me, I would want to hurt them very bad. So the fact that Marty the Moth stole the dog tags from Killshot, who he earned these in war, like this is a serious offense for the character.
It's basically stolen valor. That's how they're portraying it. And I remember at the time, my ex was saying that she saw online that some people were upset that he was even using the persona of being a military vet, because some people were saying that that's stolen valor. But I think that might have been some of the, you know, wrestling bad takes that you constantly see on Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's stolen valor. Like anytime. And that's kind of what I was getting at with the bully part of Marty. He genuinely thinks he can take someone's. He sees something that's important to someone, and he wants to shit all over it.
Yeah,
you know, he's just a shitty, like, he's a loser, but he's a shitty loser. And I think is the point I'm trying to make, is like, we've all met people, and this will probably make even more sense, like people that are just, they're not very good at it. They don't succeed in life, but they still want to shit all over everything. Like, they want to be the Joker, but they're a loser. And if they were just, you know, contribute instead of shitting all over shit, they would be much better people, but they would also be much more successful. And that's what Marty is.
Yeah. No, you just hit the nail on the head, for sure. But the point being, I love prop feuds, and I love when you can make something as simple as like a dog tag or a bracelet or anything a source of heat, of intensity on a conflict.
I mean, it's a great way to get the feeling of a title change, but without having to use a belt. I mean,
exactly.
It's great. Like, you could have it be over a personal conflict, but having it over something that's material, because then someone can take it, or they can hurt it, break it. It's very good material.
Yes. I mean, they did that in WWE, and I want to say 2018, they had a program between Natty and Ruby Riott, because after Jim Neidhart died, Natty wore out some sunglasses that her dad gave her, and Ruby broke the glasses mid-match, and they made that a feud for 2 months.
They should fire her.
Ruby,
it's unacceptable.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous.
Well, they did it with Al Snow's dog. They did it with Perry Saturn's mop. They did it with Al Snow's head.
Here's the thing. Those are bad examples.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, man. There's a way you can do it and make it work, you know? Like, they did it in 2001. They did it with Kurt Angle's gold medals when Chris Benoit stole them. Because Canadians steal everything. And that's the worst thing Chris Benoit ever did.
I never heard the thing about Canadians steal everything, but I'm going to say it up.
Canadians, the thing, they steal everything. And they talk in French. It's weird. I don't know which is worse.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
I would agree, sir. Next up is the main event. The Gift of the Gods Championship is on the line. We've got Tejano versus Joey Ryan versus the Mac versus Sinistro, La Muerte versus Aerostar versus Sexy Star versus Chavo Guerrero. And by the way, Tejano rocking a singlet, and it's raw.
Yeah, he'd look different, and it looked fine on him. I kept thinking he was, I don't know who, I kept thinking he was Cage.
I mean, Tejano has a better tan.
Well, Cage is more orange. So there.
Yeah. Joey Ryan, sleazy, which all I had to do was act naturally, and even tried to force a kiss on Sexy Star.
Just like in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. My God. Chavo was being a dipshit, and Vampiro at one point says Gory Guerrero would roll in his grave if he saw what Chavo Guerrero was doing. Tejano and Mac face off in what Big E would describe as big meaty men slapping meat.
Mm-hmm.
Chavo takes finishers from everybody. That's why I said everybody hates Chavo. And this brings out Cage, who they all kind of yield. And they're going to let Cage do his thing. But then Cage just starts attacking everyone. He even hits the drill claw on Joey Ryan, which the drill claw is so awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Cage then drags Chavo on top of the pin. Chavo gets the win. He is the new Gift of the Gods champion, but he can't celebrate for too long because Cage clarifies some things for Matt Stryker, for Vampiro, for the viewing public. Like, no, Cage isn't a heel. He did this because, per Dario Cueto, next week, Chavo Guerrero will defend the Gift of the Gods against Cage.
Cage outsmarted Chavo. He's not just a machine. He's a computer. He's so smart.
Yeah, he's a real brainiac. We cut to Vampiro's dojo, and he is still torturing Pentagon. And what is this BDSM bullshit?
That should be the title of the episode. I actually missed this because I turned it off right after. I saw the credits start, and I was like, okay, it's over.
Look, I don't blame you. You didn't miss anything. This was unintentionally hilarious. They were hitting, like, Vampiro was hitting Pentagon with a kendo stick, and he's like, Silencio! Silencio! As he's, like, walloping this guy with a freaking kendo stick. It was bad. It was bad. And this clearly came right from the mind of Ian Hodgkinson, and he probably thought, oh, this is so badass. And then hopefully everyone else saw it and laughed, and Vampiro just kind of strong-armed him by giving him the crazy eyes.
The whole concept is he's trying to get... He's not actually trying to heal Pentagon. He's just trying to get him to, like, endure having his back broken and continue fighting. Clearly, the man's not a doctor, and clearly, kayfabe, Pentagon should have seen a real doctor because he could have been back sooner. He was dripping candle wax on him in the first one. It's like 30 Shades of Grey or whatever it's called.
50 Shades, but
50 Shades of Grey.
either way, Ian Hodgkinson, you're a bum.
I laughed so hard the first time he came out in the wheelchair because he was like one of those motorized Walmart's wheelchairs.
Yeah, they borrowed a freaking Amigo from Walmart is what they did.
So much damage to Pentagon.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Luckily, Pentagon is Teflon and he can overcome anything. Even a dipshit from Georgia overcoming his broken arm in a minute and a half. Fuck Cody Rhodes. Guys, that is the show. We're going to grade it now. I love Cage, so I'm giving it a B, but I'm not going to go any higher.
Yeah, I give it a C just because of everything else on the show. Yep. I mean, and I think I've kind of not died on the hill, but I've gone on the praise of Marty the Moth and Killshot. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault. If I went back now or maybe tomorrow when I feel better and I watch that match, I'll probably love it. It's just You got to have the rest of the show has to be on point. You got trios belts. We talked about that was the previous episode. They got trios belts to defend. They have Lucha Underground, Gift of the Gods, which was today. But, you know, making it all about Chavo, you know, you could have had anybody win that. I think it would have been better. I mean, they have a story going for it, but, I mean, Chavo just, he needs to go. He's got X-Pac heat with me, bro. Like, I just.
Yeah.
Who else? You bury the rest of the cast when you put him above them.
Well, let me ask, and let's take away everyone else who was already in Gift of the Gods. Who would you have in the Chavo spot to, like, be the guy to steal the medallion and, you know, get the heat with Cage and everything to have that mini feud? Who would you put in that spot instead?
I think it's funny, but I would have had Chavo get taken out when he comes in. I would have had, like, it's a funny segment, but I wouldn't have used it to take out Cage.
Yeah.
I would have had him take out Sinestro, maybe. And then have him greatly underestimate Sinestro and have Sinestro, like, just like a horror movie, stalk him and just, you know, go nuts, like, just have a hardcore match. Like, you could have a good match of Chavo. But don't, I mean, they're just throwing him in the Cage to give Cage an easy win to get a title shot, which is fine. Or would you have rather have had Cage versus, who else is in there? So that's the thing, too, is, like, Joey Ryan's in there, Sinestro's in there. What about the Mac? They could have had another match.
Well, I'm sure they will at some point, but we'll see.
They will. The thing is, I'm just saying, like, this is a Chavo episode, and it's like having a Lisa episode on The Simpsons. I don't care.
I look at more as a Cage episode, but whatever.
Now if you can get some enjoyment as a Cage guy, but, like, I think I would have rather have seen Cage go in there and just beat up everybody in a second and just dominate.
Well, that's what he did.
He did at the end, but I mean, from the start of the match, just have everyone try to stop him, and maybe Tejano gives them something, but I don't know. I just don't like Chavo, bro. Like,
I don't blame you. No one does. Everybody hates Chavo. We've established this.
Yeah, it's hard for me to look. And like, again, going back to what I said, like, I like Marty and I like Killshot, but as soon as it became about Chavo in the very beginning, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, folks, that is the show. And we thank you for listening. Check us out every week, every Thursday morning. Check out everything else here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, of course. And just remember that if you're Chavo Guerrero, a lot of people probably want you to suffer grave consequences.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.